Hey, AJ. Now you really caused a mess for yourself. For everyone who doubts that you had an affair with John Cena, I have been forwarded unsolicited, very interesting voicemails that will silence you and all the non-believers. Shall we play the first one?
Hey, John, I'm so conflicted right now, but I need to be honest with you before things go too far. What happened last night was a mistake. I'm sorry, John.
Are you denying that that's your voice?
No, but I didn't leave that voicemail, okay?
Oh, AJ, this is so tiring. Stop being innocent and looking confused. Maybe we should try and play another message.
It's me. We have to stop doing this. I want to stop. But when I see you, I lose control.
Why would you need a mouthpiece?
Loose cannon of commentary!
Because you're a jealous old bastard!
You're listening to Smack Talk Radio Live.
We've got a new champion. Listen to this.
Oops, I'm breaking the fourth wall.
Oh, there you go.
How do you feel about headlining one more WrestleMania with The Rock?
There's going to be no stopping the excellence of execution.
Your source for news.
It's been essentially a Twitter mania.
Views and opinions on everything wrestling.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
From the big leagues. To the local scene.
Vancouver, it's payback time.
Now.
You know, this show doesn't revolve around one guy, you know?
Here's James McDonald.
What the hell?
Maybe you're not the best in the world.
And Corey Callahan.
I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company.
If you're some man, but the Rock is cooking.
From the parents paid it.
Well, you don't like the new intro, James?
I don't mind it. You put a lot of work into it, but I guess you can't really see me shrug on the radio.
I really enjoyed that. Welcome to Smack Talk Radio Live. This is the best in wrestling talk radio. It's Thursday, November 15, 2012. I'm Corey Callahan, sitting next to that guy that always seems to be crashing on your couch. His name's James McDonald. James, how you doing tonight, my friend?
But that couch is so comfortable, so crash-worthy. Corey, I'm doing real good, buddy. We have an awesome show lined up for everyone tonight. Why don't you tell them what we got coming up?
We are speaking with the current Intercontinental Champion, WWE star Kofi Kingston. He's coming up a little later tonight.
Huge, huge.
Now, James, it's a bit of a bittersweet week for you and I because I have some good news and you have some not-so-good news.
I suppose. You could look at it that way.
Last year, we were in Miami broadcasting live at WrestleMania weekend. This year, it's official. Smack Talk Radio Live is going to be in New Jersey, New York, broadcasting live at WrestleMania 29. There's just a little bit of a difference. You're not going to be there, and I am.
No, it's looking pretty bleak for me this year. I mean,
what
I just barely made Miami work last year, and then looking at the prices of everything this year, it's like almost three times as expensive. Like, for example, our tickets we bought last year were, what, $50?
Yeah.
Tickets now in the same spot are, what, $200-something?
Well, maybe.
Just ridiculous, man. I can't make it work, but.
Maybe you'll win the lottery.
Who knows? You know, maybe I'll rob a bank. Who knows?
As a bit of a disappointment as it was this week for you, though, you got to look on the bright side.
Hey, life goes on.
No, I was going to say Justin Bieber's single. You might be very happy about
that. I'm doing backflips and cartwheels, man. Just awesome. Actually, I didn't even know he was single until you just told me right now. So just goes to show you how much I keep up on celebrity news.
www.smacktalkradiolive.com, facebook.com/smacktalkradio. And if you're not on Twitter yet, my God, I don't even know what to say to you anymore.
Get trendy.
At SRL Radio. All right, James, Survivor Series coming up this Sunday. What do you think?
Well, I gotta be 100% honest with you, Corey. I am not as excited about Survivor Series as I feel I should be. I mean, it's one of the big four shows of the year, and to me, it just looks like it's shaping up to be another B show.
Are you more excited about Beaver being single or Survivor Series?
Oh, geez, that's a tough one, man.
I gotta weigh it up, man. Sell the bash.
Oh, I gotta Ziggler it now for you.
All right, well, we'll talk Survivor Series, but I do agree with you. It doesn't feel like a top four pay-per-view as Survivor Series usually is. Regardless, we'll get into it. But let's do what we do every week to kick off the show. Let's catch you up with the news of the week, the business of the business. Let's kick off the post-to-post report.
Catching you up with the business of the business. It's time for the post-to-post report.
All right, James, let's kick off the post-to-post report this week with the biggest show of the year, the one we were just talking about, WrestleMania. As we told you last week on the show, tickets for WrestleMania 29 in New Jersey and New York, they did go on sale this past weekend, and the initial word is that it's already a huge success. It's reported that the WWE has broke two of their all-time record sales, moving the most tickets in the first day of ticket sales, and also garnering the highest gross ticket revenue after day one. While nothing has been said officially by the WWE, it's believed that they've sold 52,029 tickets on their first day, surpassing the previous record set by WrestleMania 18 in Toronto, which sold 51,620 tickets. I was there. I was one of them.
And that had Rock Hogan, right?
That's right. Icon versus Icon. The WWE took in more than $10 million in tickets sold, surpassing the previous record set by last year's WrestleMania in Miami, which grossed $6.3 million on the first day of ticket sales. Now, the WWE, they did gamble a little bit this year and did raise the average price of ticket sales.
Yeah, just a bit.
But it looks like it's paid off, as internally, the company is very happy with the initial reaction. And with this news, it is on pace to generate the biggest gate in history in either pro wrestling or MMA in terms of pay-per-view. The magic number to beat is $12 million, which is the gate the UFC drew for UFC 129 in Toronto. It's safe to say that WrestleMania 29, it's going to surpass that.
Oh, I definitely think so. And you were even saying to me that what an ordeal you were going through just getting these tickets in the first place.
Well, let me just give you the quick story. I was on Ticketmaster 7 a.m. on that Saturday morning. I had two phones in my hand. I had my computer in front of me. And I was on hold with Ticketmaster for about 3 minutes waiting for someone to come on the phone. And during that 3 minutes, I swear to God, almost everything was taken.
Jeez, that's just us.
Everything half decent, anyways.
Blows my mind.
And then, you know, I actually ended up buying two sets of tickets because I kind of panicked a little bit. I finally got a pair of tickets that I was somewhat happy with, not ecstatic about, so I bought them. But then I ended up going on StubHub.com and buying aftermarket tickets, and now I'm sitting row one in the balcony. I mean, that's where I like to sit, so that's, for me, that's fine. But I had to buy them aftermarket, even though I was still on Ticketmaster right at the time that they went on sale. It was crazy.
And you were even saying that the aftermarket selection was slim pickings as well.
If you go on there right now, you'll see there's not much available. Jeez. But you know what blows my mind about this?
What, that the tickets are four times as expensive?
I think that's what blows your mind. What blows my mind is no one even knows who's wrestling on the show yet.
Yeah, it's just unbelievable. Ugh. While sticking with WrestleMania, there were some rumblings on Thursday that the front-runner city to host WrestleMania 30 could be New Orleans. Now, part of this reasoning may be that the WWE could gain a lot of tax credits by holding the pay-per-view in Louisiana. But just to throw a whole twist into the whole idea, it's also rumored that WrestleMania 30 could end up in Los Angeles. Now, it's being reported that WWE officials are considering holding the 2013 SummerSlam pay-per-view in Wales, England. Which is interesting because SummerSlam has been held annually in Los Angeles since 2009. Now, this would open the door for WrestleMania 30 to be held in Los Angeles, which is a viable scenario since we haven't seen the show held in the Pacific time zone since WrestleMania 26, which took place in Arizona. I'll let the rumors continue, I guess.
It's a lock. If you go to Los Angeles, you're going to do well in terms of attendance at your show.
Absolutely. Second biggest market in the States.
We saw WrestleMania 21 in Los Angeles. It was held at the Staples Center. I would think if they go back this time, they'd want to move it into a football stadium and get out of Staples Center because you are limited with the amount of seats you can sell there. So it's very interesting. Like you said, let the rumors continue. It was revealed Thursday that two developmental talents were recently released from their contracts with the WWE. Lucas DeLeo, who appeared as Louis Fontaine on NXT.
Yes.
He's a French wrestler that WWE signed earlier this year, and he announced on Facebook that he has parted ways after requesting his contract release. DeLeo said he felt out of place in the company and wanted out. It's because he's scheduled to undergo surgery on his shoulder in the coming days.
I see.
And he didn't want the WWE to foot the bill after having his mind made up that he was going to leave. What an honest guy.
Huh.
Derek Four, who wrestled as Chad Baxter, indicated by Twitter that he has also been released from his developmental contract. Baxter was a Notre Dame collegiate wrestling champion that Gerald Briscoe recruited last year, and he was used sparingly on NXT earlier this year.
Do you ever watch NXT, Corey?
I actually really enjoy it.
I do too. It's like watching a WWE-themed indie show almost.
I think that Monday Night Raw could learn a thing or two from NXT.
Yeah, you know what?
In terms of television production, I mean, it's got this feel to it that I like.
It's got a very intimate feel. Maybe it has to do with the fact that they're filming it in a university, but
yeah,
who knows. Now, it was revealed, if you watched WWE main event on Wednesday, you may have noticed a bad fall that Cody Rhodes took during his tag team match, where the Rhodes Scholars took on Team Hell No in the main event. Now, as Cody bounced off the ropes, Kane flew him into the air for a back body drop, and Cody landed really awkwardly and was in an obvious amount of pain for the remainder of the match. Now, WWE.com released a video Wednesday asking their medical doctor, Dr. Samson, about Cody's current health. Now, Dr. Samson said that Cody landed on his right shoulder, has some strained muscles in his back shoulder, and definitely has a concussion. Well, that doesn't sound very good.
Hmm.
Now, this would put Cody's involvement in the five-man Survivor Series elimination match at the pay-per-view in question, and it is yet to be announced if he will be good to go. If not, it's rumored that Tensai might take his spot on Team Zayn. What do you think about that, Corey?
I think that five-on-five match is just getting even better if you throw Tensai in there.
What about some other guys where you could see maybe taking the spot?
Well, who are some options?
Oh, what about Brad Maddox? What if you have Brad Maddox in there?
Wow.
What about anybody from Team 3MB?
What about Ricardo Rodriguez?
Yeah, let's throw a mask on Ricardo Rodriguez. And what about Fandango? Let's have Fandango
make his
debut.
You know what? To me, that seems like a likely option.
You know, that would almost work.
We'll see. Well, the WWE Hall of Fame rumors have started for this upcoming year's WrestleMania weekend in New Jersey, New York. Part of the fun about this event is always predicting just who may be inducted into the event, and there's a few frontrunners presently. Mick Foley's heavily considered to be getting his recognition next April, as he's currently under contract with the WWE, but also the idea of Bruno Sammartino being inducted is being tossed around. According to WrestlingInc.com, Sammartino remains high up on the list, and sources close to Bruno say he has not closed the door on the idea. Bruno would apparently agree to be inducted only if the money is right, which he believes is about respect and to rectify past financial injustices relating to royalties from the marketing of his merchandise and action figures.
Hmm.
Bruno is apparently adamant that this needs to be addressed and that the deal be separated from any negotiation from a possible film that they would possibly like to make about his life down the road. Bruno is said to be open to talking with the WWE at any point.
You know, I'd really love to see that. I love the Hall of Fame. It's such a great little event to go to, a little intimate setting where you get to hear these stories that you'd never hear these guys talk about before. And having somebody like Bruno Sammartino headline the thing would just be great, but you know how Vince is about money, right?
Well, that, and there's a reason why you've never seen Bruno inducted into the Hall of Fame, and that's because their relationship is not good.
And it's all over money, obviously.
And rightly so.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, it'd be nice to see him get in. Now, as mentioned on Monday Night Raw this week, the WWE will hold their annual Tribute to the Troops holiday special on the USA Network and NBC. Now, this would be the 10th anniversary for the televised special, and they will honor the United States Armed Forces with a two-hour show on Wednesday, December 19th. The show will feature appearances by Grammy Award-nominated stars Kid Rock and Flo Rida, and also appearances by Disney's The Muppets, which should be great, Nickelback, Mary J. Blige, Diddy, Dirty Money, and Trace Adkins.
Trace Adkins.
Okay.
Come on. You're not up to date with the country music stars?
Dude, I didn't even know Justin Bieber was single. Come on. The event will take place from Norfolk, Virginia, considered the crown jewel of the United States Navy.
Now, in terms of financials this week, the WWE stock price, it closed at $7.59 a share today.
Wow.
It's down 41 cents from this time last week, where it was $8 a share. Not looking so hot. In terms of television ratings this week, WWE Monday Night Raw on November 12th has scored a 2.87 rating for all 3 hours, falling in between 2.78 last week and 2.94 2 weeks ago following Hell in a Cell. Raw averaged 4.19 million viewers for all 3 hours, which was up 3% from last week. In terms of breaking down the individual hours, Raw's viewership did decline from the second hour to the third and final hour once again, marking the 13th consecutive week that this has happened. An average of 4.15 million viewers in the first hour, increasing to 4.39 in the second, and then dropping to 4.03 million in the third. Now remember, this was the go-home show to Survivor Series, and it seems that not even an impromptu match between John Cena and CM Punk can keep the entire WWE Universe tuned in for those entire 3 hours. Here's to hoping Sunday is a successful one.
It's just that three-hour Raw is such a grind to get through. You know, when you get to that third hour, you feel like it's been dragging for so long already. So, I mean, I can...
It's late into the night. It's late, yeah, too, right?
Like, yeah, I'm
extremely tired come the end of the month.
Absolutely. I can totally see why their viewership drops every single week.
It's interesting. Well, there's your post-to-post report this week. Hope you're all caught up on the business of the business.
All right. So we got something real good coming up, Corey.
Yes, let's not waste any time.
Absolutely not.
We've kept them on hold long enough. We are on the line right now with the four-time and current Intercontinental Champion, Kofi Kingston. Kofi, how are you doing today, man?
I'm doing fantastic, man. How are you?
Not too bad. So maybe just fill the fans in on whereabouts are you these days? Are you at home or...
Right now, I'm home for a couple of days. We actually just came off of a 17-day, well, the European tour was about 10 days, but we were on the road for about 17 days total. I got in yesterday afternoon and just trying to enjoy a couple of days at home before going back on the road for Survivor Series.
All righty. Now, introducing you as the four-time and current Intercontinental Champion, that's got a pretty nice ring to it, I think.
I like it, man. I like your style, man. That's pretty cool, you know. It's definitely an honor, you know what I mean? Like, I always tell everybody, you know, most people know how much of a wrestling fan I was growing up, and I used to like a lot of the old Intercontinental Champions, you know, especially Shawn Michaels, definitely the greatest of all time. So for me to be holding the same title, it's still pretty weird to, you know, step back and think about, you know, especially now with, like, the old school, like, white championship. It's definitely pretty cool. So, definitely glad to be in that position.
You've had numerous titles, the Intercontinental title, the U.S. title, the tag team titles. This title run specifically after defeating The Miz recently, where does it rank up there in terms of, you know, all the titles you've held so far?
Well, it's definitely up there. I mean, I always have a hard time kind of ranking them. I mean, but this is definitely kind of a little bit different. You know, to be honest, when I first won the Intercontinental Championship against Chris Jericho, I think it was in 2008, I don't know that I was actually, like, ready to be champion. I was really still nervous, still pretty green in the business, and, you know, didn't quite have as much of a grasp on a lot of things as I do now. You know what I mean? Like, I feel totally different, you know, a lot more confident, you know what I mean, a lot more knowledgeable. I feel like I'm a better performer, and I've grown so much. So this title reign is definitely a little bit different, too, you know? So, it's got to be up there for sure.
Fair enough. We've had the pleasure of watching your career in the WWE since 2006. I just kind of wanted to maybe ask, how did you get into the game before the WWE? You know, was there a moment in time when you decided I was going to become a professional wrestler? Was this the goal since day one, or did you aspire to have a different career altogether in the beginning?
Well, I definitely, I always wanted to be a WWE superstar growing up, you know, and it's one of those things where we're young, we always, you know, everyone has a dream, and for whatever reason, when we get to be adults, a lot of times people find that they have not achieved that dream, which is fine. You know, you pursue other paths, and, you know, you make do, but for me, I just wasn't really fulfilled. I just graduated from college, and I was working in the corporate world, and I just, it wasn't really doing anything for me, you know, and I thought to myself, you know, like, why haven't I tried to follow my dream? You know, I would hate to be an old man and look back and wonder what if. So I actually decided to start training. I trained at Killer Kowalski's old school. It's actually Chaotic Wrestling now, but Kowalski would come on the weekends and everything. So I was working full time and, you know, also training on the side. So you talk about, like, paying dues, and I definitely feel like I did. You know, I was definitely doing a lot of traveling, a lot of working, a lot of learning. And it definitely paid off because here we are, you know, fast forward 5-6 years later, like you said, Intercontinental Champion, you know, multiple United States Champion, Tag Team Champion. I'm definitely living the dream. So, yeah, man, it definitely is. It's been a long journey. It actually doesn't feel as long as it's been, but I'm glad that I definitely decided to pursue my dream because I'm, again, just living the dream and I meet a lot of cool people and I've been doing a lot of cool things. So, very grateful.
We have a very loyal independent wrestling audience that listens to our show. Did you have a run in the independent scene? And just give us a bit of a background on that.
Yeah, I worked mostly up in the Northeast, and I wasn't on the independents for all that long. It was probably about a year. I worked with Chaotic Wrestling. I worked with MWF, NECW, XWF, I think it was, in Rhode Island. So I did a lot of stuff up in that Northeast region. I went down to North Carolina briefly, had like a Ricky the Dragon Steamboat had the camp down there. Him, actually, Les Thatcher, Terry Taylor was running the camp at the time. So I got to go to like the South for a little bit, but mostly my career was all up in the Northeast.
So if only a year on the independent scene, people must have noticed you almost right away.
Yeah, it's a lot of right place, right time. You know, I always, I never forget how fortunate I am because there are a lot of guys who I would train with that, you know, had been training for a little bit of time, you know, 5 years, 4 years, or whatever, and hadn't even gotten like a tryout. So I got real lucky in the sense that we had a tryout at the Chaotic Training Center, you know, and I ended up getting signed off of that. So it's kind of like right place, right time. I've never actually heard of another situation where you have like a tryout scenario like the one that I was at, because you had all these different talent scouts there. I mean, Fit Finley was there. Arn Anderson was there. Nova was there. You know what I mean? Ricky Steamboat. So all these guys were there to see us. And this is how you think it would typically go if you were trying to become a WWE superstar, that you would go to a tryout. But I, to this day, have never heard a story where people have had a tryout like in the capacity that we did. So, yeah, definitely like a lot of right place, right time. But you always got to be, you know, you got to put yourself in those situations to be considered to be in the right place at that right time.
And you also got to put your money where your mouth is. You got to back it up.
Indeed.
I want to jump back into the WWE here. You've been with the WWE since 2006, like I said. What are some of your most memorable moments of your career so far? Anything that really sticks out in your mind?
Yeah, there's a few. I mean, definitely the first title win, that Intercontinental Championship title that I had when I beat Chris Jericho, number one, because Chris Jericho was a guy who really kind of inspired me to get into WWE as far as him not being like a really big guy. You know, you're always like, when I would tell people I wanted to be a WWE guy, they would always laugh at me because I wasn't big enough. Oh, you have to be 6'6 and 300 pounds. You know, you'll never make it. But I'd look on TV and I'd see guys like Rey Mysterio, like Chris Jericho, you know, on TV and becoming champion. So it's like, if they can do it, like, why can't I? So for me to be in the ring with him, let alone for the Intercontinental Championship, and on top of that, beating him for it was definitely one of the most memorable moments of my career. You know, that WrestleMania, being at Money in the Bank, I think the first time I was in Money in the Bank was when I really actually felt like I had made it, you know, because you always, when you're a kid, you imagine yourself being a WWE superstar wrestling at WrestleMania in front of thousands of people, and I actually did that. And I think I was like laying on the outside of the ring and like watching the Jumbotron after I got like bumped off a ladder or something, like just like watching the match, literally like the best seat in the house.
And
I just thought to myself, I'm like, you know what, I think I made it, you know. But I had to realize that I was actually in a match, so I had to get back in and do what I had to do. But for that moment in time, it was definitely I very rarely do I ever like step back and kind of appreciate what's happened. I'm always kind of looking to the future, but that was one of those times when I did step back.
For me, one of my favorite moments for you of your career would have to be at the Royal Rumble. Your infamous moment at the Royal Rumble. Like, how the heck did you even come up with that?
Man, I don't know, man. To be honest, like I think that day, you know, you start like thinking about different ways you can be creative, and especially in like a Royal Rumble, there's only like so many ways you can like go out of the ring, right? I mean, you're going over the top rope, you can only go in so many ways. It's been around for what, so I don't know, like 20 years, 30 years, whatever, and you've seen a lot of things happen. So I'm always trying to like, you know, do things differently. And I think that morning, like, someone was just kind of reading the rules or whatever, and they were just like, oh, yeah, you know, both feet have to hit the ground. And I'm thinking, well, what if your hands hit the ground? And it's like, oh, okay, that'd be cool. Well, what if you could, like, do, like, a handstand and, you know, maybe you could, like, walk with it or whatever, you know? And I don't know, it just kind of, like, evolved. And I actually hadn't done a handstand probably in, like, I don't know, maybe, like, 10, 15 years. So I was trying to do one, like, earlier that day. And, like, if you watch the tape, like, I normally most people walk with handstands. They walk the other way. I couldn't do that. So, like, I had to make sure that I was going, like, basically the opposite way of the way that normally people handstand or whatever. So, you know, kind of a little awkward little handstand deal. And I'm just glad that it actually worked out because I had no backup plan if I fell. So I would have been eliminated. So, you know, luckily it worked out and now we have a memorable moment.
Yeah, could have either way. It could have went either way, and it definitely worked out for the better. I asked you about your memorable moments, the good in your career in the WWE. I wanted to ask you about the bad briefly. I won't touch on it for very long. I wanted to bring up 2009, more specifically this feud that you had with Randy Orton. Now, we all know the internet is full of nothing but facts, but I wanted to address the rumors about this infamous match on Monday Night Raw that involved you, Randy Orton, and John Cena. Are there any truth to these rumors that you see online, or is it completely fabricated?
No, well, you're talking about him yelling stupid in there, right, if I'm not mistaken?
Yes.
Yeah, man. I mean, first of all, I mean, everyone knows that Randy kind of has, like, an attitude or whatever, so that's kind of Randy being Randy. But what a lot of people don't remember is that we were kind of in this heated rivalry. So a lot of what you saw was just him, like, just being his character and kind of playing to that. You know what I mean? So I thought it was real funny when, you know, like, I started reading all these things about, Randy Orton, like, you know, he doesn't like Kofi and this and that. But which is fine because I think it kind of added to, like, what we were doing at the time. It made people, like, more, you know, more interested in what we were doing. It really kind of added a little bit, too. But, you know, it is what it is. I mean, you fast forward now, right? Now, here we are on the same team, you know what I mean, in the same ring. Like, I came out Monday Night Raw to actually save him, you know what I mean? So it's just kind of like one of those, you never quite know what's going to happen in the WWE.
Is there any truth to the idea that your time in the spotlight had kind of faded because of that match on Monday Night Raw?
No, I don't think so. I mean, if you look at everybody's career, there are definitely these there are high points and there are low points. Everybody's career, you get up to a certain point and all of a sudden, you know, somebody else is to be in the main spotlight. So, you know, the push goes behind them and then it comes back around full circle. It's just the nature of our business. You know what I mean? One match, trust me, cannot hurt somebody's career to the point where it's like everything kind of gets pulled under the rug for you. I was still doing some pretty cool things, you know. Obviously, being in a feud with Randy Orton is very hard to top, you know, because he's obviously one of the best in the business, you know what I mean? Especially at that time, I was a guy who was trying to break that glass ceiling, so to be up there with him, anything I would have done after that would have been a step down. So, you know what I mean? It's kind of a one of those situations where, you know, you have to come down so you can go back up, and that's just the nature of the business.
That's looking at it half glass full for sure, and that's the correct way to look at it, absolutely. I wanted to ask you about, you know, you are the Intercontinental Champion. You have an excellent singles career. You also have a very storied tag team career. You've teamed with Evan Bourne and R-Truth. First of all, how's Evan Bourne doing? Have you talked to him recently?
Yeah, Evan's doing all right, man. He's been doing some rehab for his ankle. I mean, for those of you who don't know, he got in a pretty bad motorcycle accident. He, like, pretty much broke every bone in his foot. And, you know, being a high flyer, that's definitely a crucial body part that needs to be healthy for a guy like Evan Bourne. But he's doing great, man. He, you know, he's got a real positive attitude. Anybody who knows Evan knows that. And I'm sure he'll be back before we know it and doing what he does best, and that's fly around the ring and, you know, do all types of superhero slash action figure-esque video game type moves, you know, impressing everybody. So, yeah, he should be back hopefully soon. I'm not sure what the exact timetable is on it. But, he's doing great. He's doing all right.
Now, the next question I have for you is, what do you prefer? Do you prefer singles wrestling or do you prefer the tag team? Because you're excellent in both, so it's I really don't know. What do you prefer?
You know, to be honest, I don't really have a preference. As long I'm out, whatever challenge I'm presented with, I always try to excel in it. You know, when me and Truth were grouped together, it was kind of a we were kind of given the ball to kind of revamp or kind of give like a shot of adrenaline into the tag team division, which was kind of faltering at the time. You know, so you put two exciting guys like me and Truth together. Our goal was to do just that and make it exciting again and make people care about the championship again. And I feel like we did that, you know what I mean? Kind of elevating other tag teams. And then even with like Kane and Daniel Bryan coming in and now they're doing their thing. And again, just giving the tag team titles meaning, you know? So for me, it's like whatever goal, whatever challenge or obstacle is put in front of me, I'm going to do my best to kind of, you know, just achieve it and excel in it. So as far as a preference, I mean, I don't know. Whatever I'm doing that gets me on TV and gets me in front of you guys at WWE Universe, I guess.
Fair enough. All right, let's talk Survivor Series. November 18th from the Bankers Life Fieldhouse in Indianapolis. Now, Kofi, you are in a interesting match, and I'll get to that in a little bit. You are part of Team Foley, which involves The Miz, Daniel Bryan, Kane, and Randy Orton, and you're taking on Team Ziggler, which is Dolph Ziggler, Team Rhodes Scholars, Wade Barrett, Alberto Del Rio. What are your thoughts heading into this Sunday?
Man, this is actually going to be a really exciting match. I mean, we have a lot of rivalries going on. You know what I mean? First of all, Alberto Del Rio and Randy obviously have been feuding now for a couple months, and you know there's no love lost there. So it'll be interesting to see kind of what's going to happen between them. Obviously, myself, I've had rivalries with Dolph. You know, I've had a rivalry pretty much with everybody who's on my team right now. You know, with Kane and Daniel Bryan, they beat me in Truth for the tag team championship. Obviously, The Miz, who he and I have been going back and forth and pretty much hating each other for the past month and a half, 2 months. So it really brings an interesting dynamic because nobody really quite knows where The Miz's mind is at right now. You know, I think it really it's a whole bunch of people. And then even like Randy Orton, you know, going back to our rivalry and Orton's personality, you don't quite know what is on his mind. You know, he's the apex predator. He's always kind of been known to look out for himself. But this is a scenario where we all want to win. So we got to all come together and see what happens. You know what I mean? We'll see. I think obviously the most interesting dynamic is The Miz being on our team. For whatever reason, the whole WWE Universe, with their sick sense of humor, has voted Miz onto our team, you know, and everyone's kind of like been taking a liking to him as of late, which has been pretty crazy. But, you know, it makes for a really, really interesting match again. So I think we're all looking forward to it. Again, just being able to, it'll be interesting to see where The Miz's head is at. I'm always, people are asking me, you know, if I trust him and this and that. I can't say that I do, you know, because I've known The Miz for quite some time, and I've never known him to be a good guy. So I need to have my eyes peeled for The Miz specifically, and then kind of everybody on my team. But hopefully we can all put our differences aside and come together and win this match, because none of us want to lose to anybody on Team Ziggler.
You mentioned that you're wondering what's on everyone else's mind. I got to admit, Kofi, I'm wondering what's on your mind, because what The Miz said to you that one night on Monday Night Raw was unforgivable, in my opinion. I did not like what he had to say, and I have to admit, I'm interested in what you're going to do this Sunday. I have a question for you. You've always been a good guy in the WWE. Have you ever wanted to pull a 180, turn on the locker room, turn on the WWE Universe, and tell them what you really think?
Well, to be honest, man, I've always been really, as you can probably tell by my interview here, I've always been a guy who looks at everything with a pretty positive outlook, you know. As far as going the other way, it's really up to the WWE Universe. You know what I mean? Like, as long as I come out and people are still cheering for me, you know, and everybody's out there, you know, boom clapping with me and whatnot, then I'll stay with them, because I appreciate the WWE Universe, and I appreciate, you know, I realize that without them, there is no us, there is no me, you know? So I guess we'll see. I don't want to say never. But like I said, you know, you never say never, especially with the WWE. You never know what's going to happen. As far as me becoming a quote-unquote bad guy, like the line is so blurred these days. It's not like back in the 80s where you had Hulk Hogan coming out, you know, telling people to eat their vegetables and take their vitamins, and he was a good guy, you know, and then you had other guys who would come out and frown at the crowd and insult the crowd. They'd automatically be bad guys. All of a sudden, you had Stone Cold Steve Austin, who would do all these bad guy things, and he was getting cheered, where Bret Hart was doing everything right, and then all of a sudden, he was getting booed. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's no clear-cut, I guess, good guy and bad guy line these days. It really depends on the WWE universe and how they start reacting to certain people, specifically me. I guess we'll have to wait and see. Kind of a long-winded, I don't know what answer, but that's all I got.
All righty. Kofi Kingston, I want to thank you very much for coming on the show today. Really appreciate it, and good luck this Sunday at Survivor Series.
Right on, man. I appreciate it. Thank you.
There you go, James, the Intercontinental Champion, Kofi Kingston.
Definitely a class act guy, Corey. Just like Zack Ryder, an internal positive attitude, which is what you seem to have to need to really make mm-hmm. it in the WWE these days, is you just got to really look at things in a positive light.
And I think that was very evident in talking with him there.
Absolutely.
He's got a big match at Survivor Series this Sunday. It's going to be very interesting to see how Kofi Kingston gets along with The Miz, considering those two just came off a interesting little mini feud there with Kofi taking the Intercontinental title from The Miz. So that I'm thinking Kofi, he's going to be a major player this Sunday.
It wouldn't surprise me if he's like the sole survivor on the babyface side.
And I'm telling you, I don't think he'll be on the babyface side for very long, but that's just my personal opinion. That's my own personal opinion.
All right, well, why don't we get into it further?
All right, yeah, let's talk Survivor Series and Monday Night Raw. Let's kick off the tail of the tape.
It's time for the Tale of the Tape.
Thank you once again to Kofi Kingston, the Intercontinental Champion, for coming on Smack Talk Radio Live. Really appreciate it. What a class act. Can't thank him enough. Now let's start talking Monday Night Raw this week, James. It was from the Nationwide Arena in Columbus, Ohio. I'm going to say it's a little better than the Raw 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. It was all right for a go-home Raw, I guess.
I still find it hard to get through.
Oh, it's the 3 hours. I mean, by time, like I was just saying earlier, when you get to that third hour, it's very hard to stay invested and to stay awake almost sometimes.
Now, we've talked about this already. They only had 3 Monday Night Raws to get to Survivor Series, to really promote this pay-per-view. You knew this one was going to be a very important Monday Night Raw to really sell this, what's supposed to be a top 4 pay-per-view in the WWE. After watching Monday Night Raw this week, do you feel that they've done that?
No. Like I said at the top of the show, I don't feel like they've really sold it as one of their top 4 shows. It just feels like another Vengeance or a Hell in the Cell or something to me, but I don't know.
And why is that?
I don't know. It's just, you know, I don't know. It's like a one-match card almost, you know? You got your triple threat main event, and to me, I don't know, for some reason, I'm not even as excited for that.
Hmm.
I don't know, that's just me personally, I don't know.
No, that's fine. We'll talk Survivor Series. We'll talk Monday Night Raw first. Interesting this week because you have the referee who's responsible for the ending of Hell in a Cell that happened a couple weeks ago.
Could possibly be the Million Dollar Man.
2 weeks ago, he challenges Ryback to a match. I really didn't understand that at the time.
Yeah, the logic kind of escaped me there as well. But
so here we have Brad Maddox this week challenging Ryback to a match. How did you think this one was going to go down originally?
Well, honestly, I thought we were going to see some kind of swerve or something that would kind of screw Ryback out of the match and maybe, you know, win Brad Maddox this $1 million contract and he could flaunt it around like, now I've got $1 million, I'm this rich kid and you got to do what I say and blah, 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 blah. But no, they went the complete opposite direction. Well,
let's find out what happened with Ryback versus Brad Maddox this past Monday on Raw.
Turn around, Mr. Maddox. Mid-hole clothesline. Ryback saying it's over. And I don't think anyone has any doubt. Brad Maddox going to have a little stroll around the ring. Ryback, Maddox on his shoulder. Shell-shocked. A massacre by Ryback.
No winner of this match, Ryback.
Now, Mr. Maddox, your 15 minutes of fame are officially over.
Well, there you go. Cole called it perfectly. It was an absolute massacre by Ryback. A little bit of foreshadowing, too, by the WWE as they brought out an ambulance before the match.
Yeah.
And a stretcher, too. They rolled the stretcher out to the ring.
You know,
well.
Typically I'm all down for surprises in the WWE, and that's what the whole idea of wrestling is built upon. But this is a surprise that, to me, was a mistake. I really liked Brad Maddox. I liked what they were doing with him. I didn't like what he did at Hell in a Cell because it was the finish to the main event pay-per-view. But after that, you know, his explanation on Monday Night Raw of why he did what he did, I like that. I like this idea that he was possibly going to have a contract. In my eyes, the WWE had a possible new star on their hands.
Yeah, they've got a brand new face. He's not bad on the mic.
We talk about how the WWE doesn't have enough stars, enough characters, enough faces for people to get behind. This was a guy who came out of nowhere. He was introduced in a very interesting way, different way. And what do? You just ruin it.
Well, yeah, you know, I got to agree with you. I thought for sure that we were going to see something just based purely on the fact that there was a stipulation for $1 million contract added to the whole thing. But honestly, I'm very surprised that
Why did they do that? What is the reasoning to have Brad Maddox come out the way he does, act like, you know, he was turned down by the WWE, he went through the developmental system, he got shot down, so he became a referee, he screwed Ryback at the pay-per-view to get noticed,
right?
And he does get noticed. And so Vince McMahon comes out, offers him this contract, and then you just shut it all down. Why? Is this all just to keep Ryback's momentum going? You're going to spend weeks building this guy up just to make Ryback look good?
And that could be a part of it. It could be, you know, just another attempt to really keep Ryback looking strong. But honestly, I don't think we've seen the last of Brad Maddox.
I don't think he's coming back anytime soon.
No, I agree with you there. I think we're going to see him off TV for a while to kind of sell the whole beatdown that he got from Ryback. But I think, you know, we might see him come back maybe early 2013 or something, or who knows.
And here's another question for you. Why did they have this segment before the Ryback-Brad Maddox match with Maddox and Paul Heyman backstage? You know, Heyman has an offer for Brad Maddox. Obviously, this offer didn't go according to plan because Punk and Heyman did not help Brad Maddox at all in his match against Ryback.
But then again, you don't know what the offer is. You see, now, if they didn't have that segment with Paul Heyman and Brad Maddox, then to me, after watching that Ryback-Maddox match, I would have thought it would have been just a complete throwaway. But now that he's had this kind of backstage wheeling and dealing with Heyman, who's known to do that kind of stuff, yeah, maybe there is something cooking in the future here. Who knows? Maybe we could see Maddox be part of
a
Heyman-led stable or something in the future. Who knows?
Well, don't you think that saving Maddox in a match against Ryback would be a good start to kick off this new relationship? Because he got absolutely destroyed. Like, it's one thing to lose the match. It's another to, as how Cole puts it, get massacred in the ring. To me, that just killed Brad Maddox. It's tough for me to believe anything he does. And what I'm scratching my head about is, I thought this guy was decent. I could see if everyone hated him, he wasn't working out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what Vince thought was going to happen isn't panning out with this guy. So yeah, feed him to Ryback, shut him down, send him back down to developmental. But everything I've seen from Brad Maddox
is agree
good.
With you. I thought for sure he's definitely held his own on the mic. And
He's got a look.
And his presence and everything.
He looked good in the ring attire.
He did. And I really like the addition of his own personal cameraman who's in the shot all the time. Yeah. Which, you being a cameraman, you know, is like the height of unprofessionalism. But
I know, that part is ridiculous.
But I like that. I like that's something new. That's something you haven't seen before.
So I guess the question remains, why did they do this? I mean, I can't. To me, it's Ryback's momentum, and no one's stopping him, not even Brad Maddox. But if Brad Maddox didn't have a plan in the first place to try and beat Ryback, why would you come out and challenge him the way you did?
I don't know. Yeah, that kind of stymies my whole sense of logic. But
That word again, logic.
Absolutely. And then, but who knows, right? Maybe the WWE's got something cooked up for the future. But WWE creative being the way it is these days, you know, I'm not holding my breath, you know what I'm saying?
So you actually do see Brad Maddox teaming up with Punk and Heyman here?
I definitely could see him become part of some kind of stable led by Heyman. You know, I mean, let's face it. You got Vicky Guerrero right now. She's the acting general manager of Raw. Mm-hmm. And she's already proven that she has the power to sign and to fire people, as was evidenced by Beth Phoenix, right?
Yeah.
And you got Paul Heyman. He's kind of trying to build an alliance, I guess you could call it, with Vicky Guerrero. So who knows? Maybe we could see Vicky Guerrero reinstate Brad Maddox as a superstar down the road.
Or maybe this is an alliance to go up against Vicky Guerrero.
That's another possibility as well.
It's interesting, regardless. You know what? You know what's funny, James, is that you and I can sit here and talk about this.
Absolutely, till we're red in the face.
And I don't even think they know at this point. Because to me, it makes no sense what they did. I don't understand why you come out and just squash Brad Maddox like that, but I guess we'll find out down the road, just like how we found out who the anonymous Raw general manager was.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe we could see him come out and affect the main event for Survivor Series. Oh, and yes,
please don't do that. That would just be terrible. Two pay-per-views finishing the same way in a
row?
With
Brad Maddox?
Oh.
Hey, man, this is WWE creative. I wouldn't put it past them.
No, neither would I. I just hope that doesn't happen. God, I don't know what you were doing there, WWE. But regardless, maybe you will prove me wrong one day. Let's move on. The better story for Monday Night Raw this week was definitely the return of the King, Jerry Lawler. Just an insane story that this guy has to go with what happened, less than 2 months ago?
Yeah, it was the beginning of September, so about 2 months ago, yeah.
A heart attack on Monday Night Raw, and he comes back faster than I've ever seen anyone recover
just
from a heart attack.
Crazy.
Here is the King, Jerry Lawler, returning to Monday Night Raw.
I am certainly, along with JR, thinking that there was a time that I didn't think I would ever be able to step back in a WWE ring again. So for this night to actually happen is just beyond words for me. You know, I'm not trying to get corny or cheesy, but every holiday season there's a classic movie that comes out, and you all probably have seen it, called It's a Wonderful Life. It's about a guy that didn't know how much his life meant to everybody that he knew and all his family and friends. And it took a near-death experience for him to realize that. And, you know, I in the past few weeks have lived that movie. And I had no idea how many of you out there, how many friends and fans that I had that reached out with your love and your prayers and sent it my way. And I just want to say, from the bottom of my heart, I appreciate it. And I love each and every one of you. Thank you all so much. And it's great to be back.
And there's where it gets ugly.
Yeah, you can say that again.
Okay, let me ask you, before I give my opinion, how do you feel about the entire Jerry Lawler return from beginning to end? I mean, I could play the next clip here, but, you know, CM Punk comes out, interrupts him. Well, why don't I do that, actually? Let me just play the clip of just what happened when CM Punk interrupts Jerry Lawler's return. Classy or classless, you make the call.
Somebody help! Somebody help! Get the paramedics! Oh! Oh! Why are you all just standing there? Somebody get out here! Somebody get out here!
Hey, how you doing?
I just saved your life.
Two.
I just saved your life.
One.
You got a nip up?
He's okay. He's okay.
My God, Paul, you almost gave me a heart attack.
So Paul Heyman fakes a heart attack in the middle of the ring while Jerry Lawler stands at ringside. How do you feel about this whole thing?
Well, okay. Your question is, how do I feel about the whole thing? The beginning, I really liked the beginning. It was a definite feel-good moment. It was nice to see Jerry Lawler come out and acknowledge all the people that was wishing him well and sending him cards and phone calls and stuff like that. It was really nice to see Lawler and Cole hug it out the way that they did. I mean, that really...
I actually, believe it or not, legitimately teared up at that moment.
Yeah, you know, it was a very cool moment. And it really, I think, solidifies Michael Cole as that babyface commentator who's now going to move forward as the voice of the WWE, which is good. I mean, I think Cole's way better as a babyface commentator than as a heel.
He had a good run as a heel.
Yeah.
Way too long of a run.
I wouldn't even say it was a good run, to be honest. Right. No, it was not a good run. But yeah, it was. I honestly didn't even mind CM Punk coming out to interrupt the proceedings. But when Paul Heyman did the fake heart attack and stuff like that, that's when I was just like, oh man. That's when I just, groaned. And I'm like, okay, this went from a really cool moment to a really classy moment to a really classless moment, like you were just mentioning.
Does it surprise you?
No, it doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, this is why it's crap like this, which is why WWE and professional wrestling as a whole isn't taken seriously by mainstream media outlets and other.
But it's also reasons like this. I do. Mainstream outlets like TMZ, for example.
Yeah.
But it's reasons like this that put them in the mainstream media. This is a perfect example.
It's a double-edged sword, really.
You can call this exploiting an incident. You could call this exploiting Jerry Lawler, but the truth of the matter is this wouldn't have happened if Jerry Lawler hadn't agreed
to it.
Exactly. So it's not exploiting him because he knows that professional wrestling is built off controversy. And he also knew that TMZ had reported earlier in the day that there was a picture of Jerry Lawler with John Cena shaking hands. So, the media was aware that Lawler was returning.
Right.
It was announced.
No, I totally understand what you're saying.
Vince knew that eyes were watching this.
Yeah.
And Vince had to come up. I'm not saying it's Vince's idea. It could have been someone else's. I should say the WWE tried to come up with a way to get the media talking about them. Yes, this is not the way to do it. No business would you... Like, in no other company
would you ever try to
get attention like the way they have here.
No.
But this is the WWE. They've built themselves. The entire Attitude Era is built off this classless controversy. Any publicity is good publicity, is what they're going with here.
I hear what you're saying, but me personally, I just found it unnecessary for Heyman to do that. I feel CM Punk got the appropriate amount of heat that was meant to be generated by him coming out and interrupting. A little bit unnecessary for Heyman to do that, though. Just, I don't know.
Well, are you hating Paul Heyman because of it?
No. No, I don't hate Paul Heyman because of it, but...
A lot of people are really kind of disgusted with Heyman and CM Punk, and isn't that what you want in your heels?
I guess, but...
My opinion on the matter is this. I
still think it went a little bit too far, personally.
I agree with you. My opinion, though, is this. I'm not surprised. I understand why they did it, because they knew eyes were watching in the media, and this is... They were hoping that someone was going to talk about them tomorrow morning on the news. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what they were hoping. Never really panned out that way, but probably because in their what they thought was going to work in their minds didn't quite work in everyone else's minds. What I didn't like about this segment was, first of all, the video footage that they showed before Jerry Lawler came out of him getting the CPR, getting put into the ambulance,
everything,
being shocked
everything
with the defibrillator. That stuff to me was stuff I didn't need to see. I understand that you keep rolling in a situation like that, like Jerry Lawler's down and out. You don't know how serious the situation is at the time. So yeah, they have a cameraman rolling on all that stuff backstage. But we didn't need to see that on Monday Night Raw. We knew how serious it was. Mm-hmm. And that footage just made me cringe. And in terms of the actual in-ring segment,
yeah,
I would be completely fine with all of it. You can have Heyman fake a heart attack. You can have CM Punk interrupt him. You can have all of that. But at the end, make Jerry Lawler look tall.
Yeah.
Have him come in.
Exactly. That's the thing.
Have him come in and knock CM Punk out or knock Heyman out.
Something, right?
Have him look tall.
Have him get the upper hand. Exactly.
Make him look good in his return.
But nothing.
They brought him back and they made him look like garbage. And that doesn't sit well with me.
And what surprises me is that, like you said, Lawler okayed all this.
Well, because Lawler's dedicated to the industry. He knows what's good for business. Lawler's...
I totally get what you're saying. I mean, Lawler's one of the old school guys from the Memphis territory and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So he knows all about the sensationalism and stuff that is associated with professional wrestling. I mean, here's a guy who let Michael Cole talk about his mother only days after she died, for God's sake, right? So, no, I get what you're saying.
You know, people say Vince does what's best for business. This is an example of Jerry Lawler doing what's best for business. He knows not to take it personally. Mm. It's a show. I'm sure there was a one-on-one conversation with Vince and Lawler, you know, at some point about all this. It wouldn't have happened without Lawler's approval. Mm. You could say kudos to Jerry Lawler, and really, this just shows his dedication to wrestling, absolutely, in my opinion. And you can't dwell on it forever.
No.
But again, my biggest issue here is, why didn't you make Lawler look tall at the end?
Exactly. Let him get the upper hand somehow, right?
That's the part that I don't like.
Well, to wrap it all up, for me, I thought it was a great moment that just got sullied at the end.
Totally agree. I actually teared up there.
Yeah, no, I...
You didn't see that because I hid it from you while we were watching Raw together.
I see
but...
everything, Corey.
Yeah, okay.
Everything.
Right. Let's switch gears. The Miz...
Yeah,
interesting. Interesting character is as of right now. Is he heel or babyface? I mean, I'm really having a hard time figuring this one out.
You know, it's kind of interesting. And hey, Mike Knox, who called it last week, huh? I like this. I really like this whole kind of slow burn towards babyface that The Miz is taking. I think this could be something that could really revitalize his career. I mean, let's face it, The Miz is the perfect corporate image of what the WWE wants. You know, he's a decent looking guy. He's got the clean cut haircut. He's got the suit on and stuff like that. He's well spoken on the mic. Why not make him a babyface? You know, he talks at charity events and everything like that.
Well, are the fans going to get behind him? Really? The guy who's been on a downhill losing streak forever. So just, not forever, I should say. He's been on a downhill losing streak
for a while. Yeah.
And it's not just a losing streak. It's a bad one.
Well, he just won the IC title a few months ago. It's not like he's been on an extended losing streak.
No,
but I do understand what you're saying.
He's not looking great these days.
No, I mean,
so
I would say he's moving down the card at the current rate he's going at now. But this could switch things around.
Am I supposed to start cheering for him just because they put him on Team Foley?
Well, that's exactly the question that our buddy Mike was asking us last week. Are the fans going to be able to buy Miz as a babyface? And I think yes. If you do it slowly and gradually, yes, I think they'll buy Miz as a babyface. Why not?
I find it very...
If they try to make it like something like a quick turn, like he comes out and helps a babyface win a big match or something like that, and kind of, you know, they do it that way, I think it kind of confuse people a little bit. Because, yeah, like you just said, he's, you know, really solidified in that heel role for the last 6 years, so...
I think in terms of this Sunday with that 5-on-5 Survivor Series elimination match... It's the members of Team Foley that make this match interesting. There is a lot of animosity amongst those guys if you keep logic in mind, right?
Do we keep logic in mind?
They could ignore it altogether. But the fact that you have Kofi Kingston and The Miz on the same team together,
it's an interesting dynamic.
Something should happen there. I hope something does happen. But what I'm saying is something should happen because that's crazy if it doesn't. You have the guy who just stripped you of the title, you know, he took it off you. And then you're teaming up with him. And that's what's interesting about this match. The Miz babyface turn, I think it'll come afterwards. And I think that it'll probably be fueled by a heel turn by Kofi Kingston.
Really? See, I don't see that happening. I can't see Kofi Kingston as a heel.
Hmm.
No, I just...
Well, you can't see it because you've never seen it.
Well, exactly. I mean, it's the same argument, I guess, you could say for The Miz, right? I can't see Miz as a face, man. Yeah. He's never been a face, right?
I know. It's a pretty far-fetched prediction on my part, but... I look at this match and I'm like, what's going to happen? Yeah. Like, really, what's the big moment here?
Well, I definitely think that 5-on-5 match is going to revolve around The Miz in some fashion. I mean, like, he's the poster boy for Survivor Series, for God's sake.
There's rumors being thrown out that you might have Mick Foley versus CM Punk at TLC.
Really?
Yeah, so they're saying Foley, even though he's not involved in the match,
I don't know. I'm
could
kinda,
have some sort of outcome.
I'm kind of hesitant on believing Foley's going to get back in the ring, personally, but...
Well, that's what they're saying, though. And if it's not Foley, then who is it? What's the big moment here? It's got to surround The Miz. It's got to surround Kofi, I would think.
Yeah, it's possible.
The Miz, though, very interesting at this point. He's got the movie coming out.
Yeah, he's got his movie coming out. I really like how they placed The Miz actually with Daniel Bryan and Kane, and kind of threw them into the middle of that mix. I think that'll really help along his slow, gradual turn towards being a babyface. And I think we could see some interesting dynamics going forward where we kind of see maybe The Miz and Daniel Bryan kind of argue over who's the better partner for Kane or something. I think that'd be kind of interesting.
Interesting. So, well, let's talk Survivor Series. And, you know, as we like to do before every pay-per-view, it's time to give our predictions.
Yes.
We'll start it off with, well, let's start it off with the main event. How about that? We'll go backwards.
Let's go from the bottom of the card and go up, man. Come on.
Okay, all right, fine. All right, you win. Okay, so we have a pre-show match. 3MB, three-man band, versus Team Cobro. I like that name, by the way.
I do. It's a very...
Zack Ryder, Santino Marella, sorry. Who are you taking for this one?
Well, in this match, there's one group going up and there's one group going down, so I got to go with 3MB because these guys are on the rise and... Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Ryder and Morella. You guys look like you're sinking, unfortunately.
No Drew McIntyre for this match. It'll be Jinder Mahal and Heath Slater.
They have announced it's Jinder and Slater.
Well, Drew McIntyre's mother passed away. And
condolences.
Yeah, for sure.
Condolences, definitely.
But he's not going to be there, I don't think, this Sunday. So you got Jinder and Heath Slater taken on. So I think without question.
It's going to be 3MB.
How about the WWE Divas title match, Caitlyn versus Eve Torres?
God, do I really care about this match? Honestly... I think we're going to see Caitlyn come out as the new Divas champion on Survivor Series.
Why don't you care about this match? I don't find this
bad. I don't care about the Divas division in general. If the WWE doesn't care enough about it to make me care,
that's a good point.
Why am I going to invest? So what, I want to invest in women's wrestling. I have nothing. Honestly, I know people probably listen to this show and think that I hate women's wrestling, but I don't. It's just if you're not going to put the effort into having a decent Divas division with girls who can actually work instead of just looking good.
I don't find Eve Torres to be a terrible wrestler.
She's probably the best one they've got at the moment. If you don't count Natalya, but I mean, we never see Natalya on TV.
No, I agree with you though. It's not the greatest setup. But the one thing I'll give them credit for about this angle with Caitlyn and Eve Torres is they've built it up slowly. They've done it properly. They just probably haven't given them the right amount of time to tell the story the way it should be told. But I think that for the time that they're given, they're doing a pretty decent job.
I'm sorry. I'm not invested in it. I find it very hard to get into it.
All right. Well, who are you taking for the match?
I just said, Caitlyn, I think, is going to be the champion coming out of Survivor Series here. What about you? Who do you think?
No, I'm going to go with you on that.
Caitlyn?
I know I should differ for you for the sake of the radio show.
We're being that logic word again. There it comes into play again.
All right. How about the WWE the U.S. title match?
There you go.
Jeez. I was going to say United States title match.
Jeez, it's almost as bad as your voice cracking, eh?
Do they ever call it the United States title or it's just the U.S.
title? No, they call it the United States title from time to time.
R-Truth versus Antonio Cesaro. Who are you taking for this
one? I definitely got to take Antonio Cesaro in this match just purely for the fact that this match was really thrown together at the last second and it really wouldn't make sense to see R-Truth come in and just take the title off of an up-and-comer like Antonio Cesaro. I mean, this is probably the most high-profile title defense that Cesaro's had to date.
You could argue, though, that you'd want to have a title defense or a title switch hands at some point on this show if you don't see it happening in the main event or if you don't see it happening with Sheamus and Big Show, that this might be the match where a title does switch hands. You got to keep that in the back of your mind.
It's possible, but I really can't see them taking it off of Cesaro because that belt really works on him. It plays to his character, and it helps him, and he's on the rise. I can't see them taking it off of Cesaro.
All right, I'm going to agree with you again. Where do we differ? At what point do we differ here?
Let's find out.
How about the traditional Survivor Series match, the 5-on-5 Team Foley, which consists of The Miz, Daniel Bryan, Kane, Randy Orton, and our guest tonight, Kofi Kingston.
Our boy.
Taking on Team Ziggler, Dolph Ziggler, Team Rhodes Scholars, which is at this point Damian Sandow and Cody Rhodes, that could change, but also Wade Barrett and Alberto Del Rio. 5-on-5, who are you liking for this one?
Oh, you know what? My prediction is it's going to be Team Foley, and The Miz is going to be the sole survivor.
Interesting.
That's my prediction. On the babyface side, I'm going to say Miz will be the sole survivor. If there's going to be the Team Ziggler winning, I think we're going to see Barrett as the sole survivor.
I haven't really put much thought into this match other than the fact that I think Kofi Kingston might turn heel. If that happens, I really think that this will be the reason, you know, he'll be the guy that decides the match.
What, maybe he like screws Miz somehow and Miz gets pinned in the match, maybe?
Something like that, yeah. If that doesn't happen, I'd like to say that Dolph Ziggler's going to win. He's going to be the sole survivor. Mm. The guy needs a push, needs a little bump. He's already got the money in the bank. You throw the title of being the last man standing in the 5-on-5 match. He's looking pretty good heading out of Survivor Series.
Yeah, I can see what you're saying there for sure.
So that's my prediction if Kofi doesn't turn heel.
So you're saying Ziggler will be the sole survivor on the heel side? What about the babyfaces? If you could pick a babyface to be the sole survivor, who do you think is going to be?
Well, I guess I'll agree with you there with The Miz.
I can't see how it won't be The Miz, personally.
Could be Randy Orton.
I don't know, man. Randy Orton's just fallen so far down.
I know. I agree.
Well, let's face it. Last year, on last year's Survivor Series, Randy Orton, he was in much higher profile match. I mean, he was the head of one of the teams. Remember last year? It was Team Orton versus Team Barrett.
Hmm.
Now he's just...
And what was the result of that match? Do you remember?
I don't remember the result of that match. Jesus.
But he led the team.
He was the team captain last year. Now this year he's just...
My, how the times have changed.
Now he's just one of the guys.
Yeah.
So same with Barrett. Barrett last year led the team. Now he's just one of the team members this year. So.
All right. Well, how about the World Heavyweight Championship match? Sheamus versus Big Show. A rematch essentially from Hell in a Cell.
I'm actually looking forward to this match. These two guys, they have a very good chemistry together. They work well together. The feud and story has been built up very well. I like it. But honestly, I can't see the belt coming off of the Big Show. No. Maybe we see the Big Show win the match. Sheamus then lays him out with a bro kick, and maybe Ziggler comes out and cashes in. I don't know. That's very predictable, though. So that's kind of the reason why I don't see that happening.
Does William Regal have any involvement in this?
That could be the wild card in this match.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, yeah. Who knows? Maybe Regal comes out, tries to help Sheamus win the match, gets knocked out by the Big Show again. I don't know. I just can't see the belt coming off of the Big Show.
I hope they don't pull it off him.
I don't. I don't like to see this hot potato from one month to the next. And they've been doing real well with it, so.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, I'm going for Big Show, man.
Okay. Have we really differed yet heading into this main event? No.
Again, this is why it feels maybe like a B show, you know?
How about the main event, the WWE Championship match, the triple threat match involving John Cena, Ryback, and CM Punk. Before I ask for your prediction, let me ask you this. What's the attraction to this match?
Because there's so many different paths you can take coming out of this match depending on who wins it,
mm-hmm.
right? If you have John Cena win it, well, then you can set up a John Cena versus The Rock rematch at Royal Rumble. Again, like I mentioned last week, the big wild card to this whole thing is The Rock waiting in the wings at the Royal Rumble, right? Who are we going to see face The Rock? Are we going to see Cena and Rock rematch?
Yeah.
Are we going to have the dream match between Punk and Rock at Royal Rumble? Or are we going to see The Shock and see Ryback go through and just push this guy to the moon and put him against The Rock?
How much interaction do we see in this match with John Cena and Ryback?
I think at the beginning of the match, it'll be, you know, the classic, we're going to tag up on the heel and beat down the heel until he's, you know, thrown out of the ring, and then finally we'll see them turn on each other. So I think there'll definitely be quite a bit of interaction between the two, because I think they're going to definitely come to a head, whether they're both babyfaces or not.
To me, that's what this match is about. It's John Cena and Ryback kind of splitting away from CM Punk for a while and moving forward with their own program. And you have, God, I hate to say it, but I think that John Cena is going to be the guy to stop Ryback's momentum down the road.
You think so?
And it'll start this Sunday at Survivor Series.
Well, this is interesting because this match is really your kind of litmus test for Ryback is, you know, can he play with the big boys?
CM Punk has been champion for 358 days. Will he walk out 364 days as champion? Or no, sorry, that's not right. 300 and...
When we get to Survivor Series, he'll be one day before a full calendar year.
He was 358 days on Monday, so...
So it'll be 364,
Yeah, 364.
One day less than a calendar year.
Does he walk out as champion of Survivor Series?
I'm honestly going with CM Punk to win this match.
Yeah.
I really can't see them ending his historic run with the belt at Survivor Series in this...
There's two ways to look at this.
In this hastily put together triple threat match.
Well, there's two ways to look at this, right? And that is, again, you're right. The Rock is waiting in the wings, and that is the X factor. But if John Cena... See, to me, this has a bit of a setup for WrestleMania 29, because if John Cena walks away champion, you're more likely to see The Rock versus John Cena at the Royal Rumble, and then The Rock is going to challenge the champion at WrestleMania. So you would have The Rock... Or sorry, that's not true. You would have The Rock versus John Cena at the Royal Rumble.
Right.
Rock would quite possibly beat John Cena at the Rumble for a second time. And then you'd have him take on Punk at WrestleMania. Or if Punk retains, you'd have Rock versus Punk at Royal Rumble, possibly setting up Rock versus Cena at WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's
either way, I think we're going to have a second match with John Cena and The Rock, and either way, we're going to have a match with The Rock and CM Punk.
Here's the thing. Whenever we get this second match between John Cena and The Rock, whether it be at the Royal Rumble or at WrestleMania 29, I really cannot see The Rock going over in that match. I can't see him beating John Cena twice.
Oh, I would love it if that happened.
Oh, I know. I'd love it too. But honestly, I can't see it. The Rock got his big win last year. Let's face it, right? Mm-hmm. They had the big year-long build-up. Everybody was waiting for that match. And The Rock came out of that the winner. I just can't see him going into another match with John Cena and coming out the winner. I can't see it.
Hmm. Fair enough.
So when are we going to have this rematch? Are we going to have it at the Royal Rumble, or are we going to have it at WrestleMania? You know what?
I think
the WWE doesn't even know at this point.
No, but I think you're better off having it at the Royal Rumble because
I do too.
Because to me, the attraction is The Rock versus CM Punk at WrestleMania.
Yeah, absolutely. That would, I think, sell a lot more than another rematch between Cena and The Rock.
Okay, so if you think CM Punk is walking out a champion of Survivor Series, how does he do it?
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't know. Maybe Ryback distracts John Cena somehow, and CM Punk kind of slithers in there and gets the win. I don't know. There's going to be some kind of interaction, I think, between Cena and Ryback, and then CM Punk's going to kind of slither in and take the win.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Do you think at the end of Sunday's pay-per-view, you'll be disappointed with what you see?
Oh, jeez. What a loaded question. What a loaded question.
What I do, buddy. I set you up for
that. Oh, man. You set me up to take a fall. I don't know. I can't say that. Honestly, I haven't seen the pay-per-view on Sunday. But, you know, they could come out and it could be gold. It could be something that shocks us completely. Every single match is great. Like, you never know these things, right? So I'm not going to sit here and say, yes, I'm going to be disappointed by whatever outcome is.
Okay.
Because who knows?
Well, you know, we have a lot of similar opinions heading into this pay-per-view. It'll be very interesting to see if they go the predicted route or if they just throw us a complete curveball and switch it up altogether and surprise us. But I have a feeling that's not going to happen.
I don't know. We've been getting a few curveballs lately, so who knows?
Hmm. Well, let's see.
Interesting. This Sunday, Survivor Series.
Yes, from Indianapolis, Indiana. Bankers Life Fieldhouse.
Should be a decent one, I guess. I don't know. What do I say, right?
Are you going to order it?
I think so. I mean, I think so. Yeah. It's enough to make me order. It is Survivor Series, after all. It's one of the big four. I like to purchase the big four just to kind of
help.
I do
too, but I agree with what you said near the beginning of the show. This is not a big four.
It doesn't feel like a big four.
No. But what do you expect when you only got 3 weeks to build it up, right?
Exactly.
All right. It's time to get out of here.
What do we got going on this weekend around town, my friend?
ASW, All-Star Wrestling. We didn't get to the local scene this week, but we'll get to it next week. ASW, which is at allstarwrestling.biz, but their website seems to be down right now.
Yeah, they've got a big show happening at the Cloverdale Fairgrounds tomorrow called Return of the Vampire. If you're a fan of The Brood back in the day and you like Gangrel, well then definitely head out to Cloverdale tomorrow night as you're going to see him take on Fabulous Fabio for the ASW Trans-Canada title, because he is the title holder at the moment, Corey.
You're also going to see Kyle Sebastian versus Artemis Spencer with a one-hour time limit. That's going to be an excellent match,
I can
promise.
That's going to be a definite showcase, and I'm very sorry that I'm not going to be there.
That's at the Cloverdale Fairgrounds, like you had mentioned. Check them out on Facebook for the time being, since their website's down. How about us, though, James? www.smacktalkradiolive.com, facebook.com/smacktalkradio, and at SRL Radio on Twitter. And send us your emails as well, onair@smacktalkradiolive.com.
Absolutely. We got a room full of free stuff here. Send us those emails, people. Tell us what you thought. Did you like Monday Night Raw? Are you as excited for Survivor Series as we are? Put it in an email. Hit the send button, and there could be some awesome stuff coming your way. That's all I got
to
say.
Wow. Are you supplying it?
Right out of my own pocket, buddy.
I don't even know what to say.
Let's get out of here.
All right. We'll be back next Thursday for another edition of Smack Talk Radio Live, running down the Monday Night Raw, running down the Survivor Series. I'm looking forward to it. Are you?
I'm not going to say I'm not.
Wow. Way to hype up our own show. All right. I'm Corey Callahan.
I'm the guy on the couch, James McDonald.
We'll see you next Thursday. I'm back.
about to get mine. It's about that time. We don't care what the people say, and we don't care what they wanna do, and we don't care about the end.